precious truth kept quiet in his heart. As history unfolded, bits and pieces told through his grace and love, goodness and mercy. Like a whisper in the dark.
Hey guys, it's episode 20 of Gin Talks, and you got a little bit longer for our intro music today. We wanted you to hear a little bit more of that song, and Katie will tell you again who sings it and where it's from, but episode 20, like I said, that's crazy that we've already had 20. This is called The Messy Middle, and I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
Okay. The song,
and I did play it a little bit longer. We looked at each other, we're like, oh my goodness, but I wanted you to hear more of the song. Yesterday, we have talked about Our City on a Hill a few times on the podcast, but it is just a local website that, yesterday was the 2-year anniversary, and it was kind of it was birthed out of a Catalyst conference that I went to with a friend named Katie Taylor. And that song, a friend of ours, a local artist, Deanna Wood, wrote it, and she's the singer-songwriter for that, and did it for Our City on a Hill. So that's what we have opened up to. But yesterday, I spent the whole day going through all of the, like, photos for the past 2 years, and all of the God colors that we've seen and connected, not that we've connected, but that God has connected just through this site in Our City that may not have ever crossed paths. And so that's why we use that at the beginning of this. And the point of Our City on a Hill was to call out and connect the God colors in our community. And really our heart behind this podcast was, it was to connect where there's often a divide, and that can be through generations. Mm-hmm. So it's to connect hearts in different generations. And so the song is applicable there as well.
And I love the beginning part. There's a secret kept through the ages.
Uh-huh.
I love that for our podcast, because it's like Jesus' truth is like through the ages. So it doesn't matter what generation it is.
And he is the one, like his Holy Spirit, that reveals truth. Mm-hmm. And like when all of a sudden your eyes are open and your heart receives it, it is totally new birth.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't keep it quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it was never meant to stay hidden under a basket.
Gotta talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not to point to ourselves, but to point to him.
Yeah. No matter what we're doing,
yeah.
We're talking about. And today we are talking about the messy middle, like I said. And Katie and I both had different podcasts we had listened to that kind of played into the same thing. I just listened yesterday to a podcast by Stephen Furtick at Elevation Church called In the Middle. And it was about pretty much what happens in the middle, whether it's our entire life, like, you get saved, and then there's the middle until you go to heaven. Or, like, for planning a wedding, like I'm doing, or buying a house, like, there's, okay, we're engaged, and we're going to get married on a certain day, but there's the middle. And buying a house, you buy a house, and then it's fully furnished, but there's the middle. And Katie, what podcast was it that you were...
I was actually listening to The Portfolio Life with Jeff Goins, and he had the author of the Left Behind series on there.
Yeah.
And, a man who's been a prolific writer his whole life, written, I think, almost 200 books.
Wow.
That's the one that's the most well-known. But he had asked him just kind of his secrets to writing and just some of his writing process. But he also referenced the marathon in the middle as a writer in the creative process, and thought it definitely related to that. And talked about that at salvation, sometimes we'll go immediately home to heaven.
Sometimes.
But most of the time, being saved, you have a long time after where you actually have a reason and a purpose for being here. And, you know, that's the messy middle, because you're longing for home, that we have this reach that we'll never reach here, but we are ever trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And we will once we get to heaven.
Yeah.
But you referenced the thief on the cross, how he...
Yeah. That's what Stephen Furtick said. He said the thief on the cross... Like, we are the thief on the cross, but the difference is, he said, I like the way he worded it. He said something like, this guy kind of didn't know for sure. Like, it's like he said, this is my last shot. I'm going to confess your name, I guess, and hope that I get to go to heaven. Like, it was just kind of like a shot in the dark. And without him even having to be all the way in, Jesus was like, yeah, you're going to be with me in paradise. And it was like, okay, so he dies and goes to paradise. But for us, you know, like, imagine if we do fully commit. And when the thief barely committed, you know, when we fully commit. And he said the better promise to him, Stephen Furtick said, to me, the better promise than you'll be with me in paradise is I'll be with you in the middle. And then you'll be with me in paradise. And I thought that was really cool because we do have the time here where, and Stephen Furtick always says that too, like, I'm ready to get, he said something about drinking Diet Coke and he said, y'all can send me emails about aspartame, but that's fine if it kills me, I'm ready to go home to Jesus right now. You know, he's like, we're ready, but we do have time. If we're blessed with time here in the middle, then we have a purpose for it. And it can be messy, but we have to remember that he's with us in the middle.
Okay, where I was just in the Bible this morning was in Luke 11 and 12, and Jesus was asked to come over to a Pharisee's house. Mm-hmm. And so it says, as Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. So he went in and he took his place at the table. And it just made me think of, okay, if I was at a conference, like imagine yourself mm-hmm. being at a conference and Billy Graham or whoever you want to put in that place is, and you're like, hey, you want to come over for dinner? And they say yes. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say, his host was amazed. And before I read further, I kind of wrote over, I'm imagining inviting Billy Graham, mm-hmm. thinking, okay, and then he comes over. Mm-hmm. I hope that I, like him being there, and he sits at my table and is like truly relaxed and going to hang out with me, that I would be so amazed at his presence that I would just sit and talk and talk and talk. But it goes on in the next verse to say, his host was amazed to see that he sat down and didn't wash his hands. Like, he was totally sidetracked by the fact that he broke the rules.
Yeah.
That he was missing the Messiah right in front of him. And so at the bottom, basically, Jesus says, what sorrow awaits you, Pharisees, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb garden, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, that's good. But do not neglect the more important things. When you said the better thing.
Yeah.
And like Mary, when she sat at his feet, mm-hmm. the better thing was not going to be taken from her.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that in distractions, and you're talking about the things that were coming at you and in your wedding and a house, and that there is a way to not neglect the better thing. And the only way to do that is to like put our dog collars on that looks like lampshades and to truly focus on him. While we have him, which is always because his spirit lives in us in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I remember those, I'm going, hey, do not ignore the more important things, the better things. And he's saying, I wouldn't tell you that if it wasn't available to you.
Right.
Like, I'm not just throwing this.
Yeah, like it's a thing that we can have.
Absolutely. So let's see. It goes on to say that basically that these Pharisees were going to be responsible because they're going to say, it said, for you removed the key to knowledge from people. And Jesus is the key to anything. Like, he truly is, you know, he's the Messiah. He's the key to peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to be the one at the end of my days. And like he said, some of you, and I believe this was in the psalm I had today, are going to think that you are in the light and you're not in the light.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I don't think he would give us that warning if it wasn't possible.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so, but the fact that I'm recognizing, the fact that we recognize that, to me, is that because the Holy Spirit, he's going, you're in the light.
You're in the light, yeah.
Because you're even getting and reading that statement and understanding that it's possible, you're in the light.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories that we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down. My people will listen to my instruction. I will open their ears to what I'm saying. I will speak in parables, but I will teach them the hidden lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit will teach us all those things, and we have the better thing. So in the meantime, in the messy middle, we really do have everything we need.
Yeah.
And so we don't need to freak out about it.
Right, which is what I've been doing.
Well,
totally.
We all do.
Yeah. I mean, even yesterday while my fiance was out of school, he works, he's a teacher, but because of this possible storm that didn't happen, thank goodness.
It was a great day yesterday.
Yeah,
I had a good run in. Our state actually
it was like out of
called state of emergency because we were supposed to have tornadoes. Now we have had some terrible encounters, so
we have
always
to be careful.
Better to be safe than sorry. We are in tornado. I think we're part of Tornado Alley.
Yeah,
whatever.
But yeah, so we were able to go work on our house, but I guess I just got wrapped up in like all the things we had to do, and like things didn't really go as planned for me. Like I like had all this stuff in my head that like the way we were going to do things and like all the things I had to get done outside of the house. And I kept telling him like, you don't understand, like this is what you're focused on, but I have like a million things to do. Anyway, I was not so nice to him, and it just kind of hit me like we were both literally scrubbing the floors, because I was like, we have to get these floors clean before we move the step in. And I just kind of looked over and I was like, oh, like I get to marry this man that is sitting here. I'm gonna cry talking about it, scrubbing the floors with me, you know, like
there's nothing better
than that. And like as soon I just like he just the whole day it was like every time I it wasn't just one time I was mean, you know, like I would be mean, and every time I apologized it was like open arms. Like he didn't care. He just loved me. And that's Jesus. You know, last night I was like, that's Jesus. Like I can like spit in his face a million times. Jesus. Yeah.
And Caleb. Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, that was like what I got out of it. So that's good that I like saw some beauty in it at the end of the day. But I just kept thinking, I even thought about you talking about the blinders. And I was like, when I was like driving home, I was like, I've got to put those on. Like I've got to remember like what is important.
There was, I feel like I was on a mission trip, and there was a lady that had a rubber band on her mm-hmm. wrist, and she would pop herself every now and then, not for pain yeah. reasons, but it was to remind herself to stay flexible.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it is good to just have different reminders, whether it's something hanging from your rearview mirror in your car, mm-hmm. or Ann Voskamp when she would draw the little cross on mm-hmm. her wrist, or there was a Beth Moore study that we did, Believe in God, and you had a blue tassel around mm-hmm. your arm. It was just a tiny blue piece of thread that she had you tie, and it was to remind you of who you believed in, mm-hmm. and that you are who he says you are, he is who he says he is, that you can do all things in him. And there was a fourth tassel that you were like to remember, but I can't remember right now. But just the reminders of what is ultimately at the end of the day, what you really really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that?
It's a study by Andy Stanley, and I think we referenced it last week only because when I was doing the show notes, I think I put it in there, and it was his series on what you really really want. But basically, what that means is what you think you want right now is not really what you ultimately want. Mm-hmm. What you ultimately want is what you really value.
Right.
And sometimes, unless we are intentional about articulating it and getting to that, then we'll kind of just tread water or go backwards for the majority of our life. Right. And he gave an example this past week when we did it, and it was from a leadership book that I can't remember that he actually read in like 1989, but it changed the trajectory of his life. And the exercise he had you do was, I think it was like the 10 habits of successful people,
mm-hmm.
something like that. I'll figure it out, put it in the show notes, but it's an old book. But it said, imagine your funeral, and the people at your funeral have somebody from your family, from your church, from your work, an acquaintance, maybe somebody that you do your hobby with. There were different sectors of your life, mm-hmm. but when you get each one up there, what would you want them to say about you? And in doing that, he actually was able to sift out several words, and he found that that was what he really, really wanted. And so if his behaviors did not fall within those guidelines, or his heart would quicken sooner than later once he pulled them out, and it changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because he goes, I would have, you know, I'm highly driven, and I'm very, you know, I like progress and I like things. But there wasn't one person in my funeral when I imagined it that was like, he was a really driven man.
Yeah.
Got things done. You know, he said it was, I wanted them to say I was honest.
Yeah.
And that I was persistent, and that mm-hmm. I stayed with things. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he goes, I'm not going to give you my words because I want you to do it yourself. But I thought it was really a good thing to think about. Especially because we're still here.
Yeah.
And we know if we're still here that there's things that he is blessing us with the opportunity to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not have-tos, they're get-tos.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. They're get-tos, not have-tos. I have to remember that. Like I don't have, that's what I keep like trying mm-hmm. to remember. And Caleb's good about reminding me that like I don't have to get my house ready. Like I get a house. Like not everyone has a house. You know, I was, when I was like cleaning the floors, I was like, some people don't have anywhere to live. Like,
and the boxes will be there tomorrow. They're not going anywhere.
And if people come over and like, I think that's why I've been stressing. I like keep putting pressure on myself. One of our friends is throwing us like a couple shower housewarming party, like just a couple weeks before our wedding, and it's at our new house. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, it has to be perfect, you know?
Let them help you unpack. Yeah. Like, let it be an unpacking party.
Well, and I remember my mom keeps saying, Caitlin, your friends don't care. Like, even like my bachelorette weekend is this weekend in Savannah. And I was like, am I supposed to buy them presents? And she was like, they don't care, Caitlin. Like, it's your friend. You're acting like these are people you don't know. She's like, and they're your people, you know?
And I do feel like your generation has a little bit different. Because I can tell you that some of my best years of marriage were like my first ones. And we were in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
And we had his bed that he had in college. Mm-hmm. And we had a kind of cracked up Ansel Adams fake print from Walmart over our bed. And our bookshelf was a thrift store CD case. And we had an ugly brown couch that was a hand-me-down, but it was so comfortable.
Yep.
And we had a blue recliner that was not pretty, but it was so comfortable. Yep. And everything was hand-me-down and hodgepodge and makeshift. Our first Christmas tree was literally the lopped-off top of a Christmas tree. And we drove by, and it was free. Like, they're like, that's in the trash pile. And we propped it up against the wall. And so I look back going... And I did have my meltdown when I walked through the closet. I was like, there's not enough room for me. And then it went away. But that these you're not expected to have and do everything.
Yeah.
And don't let your joy be stolen by thinking that you should. Like in this
messy
middle.
And it is just it can be so much of a comparison game or a, not even like, I was explaining this to my mom. It's not that I'm like comparing myself to any one person. I'm not like, I have to have a house like
to this expectation you set up and didn't realize that you set up in the first place until you were disappointed.
Right. And it's like this whole world we live in is like, that's like anyone from your generation is always like, we didn't have anything when we first got married.
Well, and then the generation before us is like, and I went to school uphill both ways in the snow, and I slept in a drawer.
Yep.
I was like, I've turned into that person.
No, but it's. Because it's a nice reminder that, like, my parents are like, Caitlin, y'all have more than we
ever had. A lot of people your age, though, that are, and I don't, getting married, and they're like, it looks like their forever house, but I'm guessing that it's not number one.
I mean,
one.
It's amazing to me, because, I mean, our home, it's a very nice house that we very well could live in forever, and it would be just fine. But we probably won't, but there are people literally our age, and I see their pictures of their house, and I'm like, I don't think my parents even have a house that big. Like, and you're 25 years old, and whatever, good for you. I mean, I'm not going to, like, I do get envious, but I need to not get envious because I'm like, okay, that's not realistic, and I can't think to myself, oh, if we had that or if we had that. And we just went through a premarital counseling lesson.
Oh, yeah.
And which is going really well.
That's what we need to be talking about is what all I walk you through.
Yes, I know. Well, this week was really funny because I was on Monday. Today is Wednesday. I mean, today is Thursday. Gosh, I don't even know what it is. Yesterday was Wednesday, which was kind of a rough day. And Monday was a rough day. And we were working on the house again. And we got a huge fight. And then we went, and that's like all we do these days is getting each right. And then we went to premarital counseling. I mean, we were literally, I was like, I got to write about this one day. Not today, because I'm still mad. But we were literally fighting as we walked in the door to these people's house. I mean, he looked at me, and he was just like, he just looked at me like, I don't like you.
That's what counseling is for. Yep. Like, so actually going in a fight, like, you can get some real work done.
Yep. I mean, we kind of looked at each other like, yep, hate you. All right, cool. Let's go in here and pretend.
We just said, hey, we just want you to know that.
Yep. Hey. I finally looked at them. They're like, how y'all doing? And I was like, we've been in a fight all day. I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that we haven't been. But as the like group went on and we like had to watch it, we watched a video. It's Dr. Les and Leslie. It's like what Church of the Hollands uses.
Okay.
But I would like held Caleb's hand and they would say something. And I would just kind of look at him like, yep, that's us. Like, we would, like, laugh about it. But the whole premise of that session was the habit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
About, like, choosing happiness even when you don't want to. And I was like, Yep, that's good.
We might have talked about this before, but the Beatitudes, mm-hmm. that the word, the actual root word of the word blessed are those who are, it's actually happy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at all the Beatitudes, and it's like, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed yeah. are those who mourn, mm-hmm. blessed are, and it's not really what you would think would be on the other side of happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's good that they use the word, the habit of happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And it was, he talked about throwing yourself like a pity party, and he had very similar, he was trying to get a job at the university. And so he and his wife moved into like a small apartment, and, they had like their couch barely fit in there, like whatever. He kind of talked about that. Well, a guy and his new wife moved into the corner apartment that he had wanted with like a really good view. He said he like joked about the view and being over like the 7-Eleven or something. He was like, you know, it's just what I wanted. And that guy moved in there. He was like, okay, well, their house is really cool and ours isn't, you know? And he said, he kept saying, well, when are we going to get cool stuff? And then the job got posted. Guess who got it? The guy in the corner apartment over him. And he was like, well, when am I going to get cool stuff? And then he drove like a terrible beat up car parked next to him, brand new car, belonged to that same guy. And he was just like, we kept kind of pitting ourselves like, well, when are we going to get this? And he said, and that stuff doesn't matter, mm-mm. you know, and someone else might want what we have. And he was like, so you can't focus on that. You have to focus on the middle. He didn't say that, but that's what I...
And the earlier that we get, the better, when I focus on like just the compass that Mark... It's just a series of verses mm-hmm. that's really to help keep your focus on your eternal purpose mm-hmm. and like things that are of heaven and mm-hmm. not of earth. Realizing we are strangers passing through. And mm-hmm. I don't care if our mortgage is paid off. We don't own the house.
Yeah.
God does.
God does. Mm-hmm.
And so just realize it as the last few years, we've done some simplicity Bible studies, and I read a book called Seven by Jen Hatmaker, and mm-hmm. it was an experiment in simplicity.
It's on my list.
It really has helped me to just, you know, I'm ready to get rid of my house.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need near as much room.
Right.
And we are both, and we're on the same page of wanting to get rid of stuff
mm-hmm.
so that we can live a lot more open-handed.
Mm-hmm.
But then I love the verse that talks about, if you're not open-handed and with your little, you're not going to be open-handed right. when you have more. So start out open-handed, that everything is can pass through your fingers.
Yeah.
And then just thinking about going the extra mile in the meantime. Like, there is something contagious about when you tap into living a life of meaning versus meaningless stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when you're like, oh my goodness, like, it felt so good to do something for someone else.
Right.
And it is contagious. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can just start living a life of meaning every day, that whenever I start having a pity party, go do something for someone yep. else. Like, even force yourself to do it, it changes everything.
Being meaningful in the meantime.
Yes. Yeah.
Katie called the middle the meantime because it can be mean.
It I like that a lot. So, because this world is mean.
This world is mean. Yeah. But you can be meaningful in the meantime. Uh-huh. That's, yeah.
And that's why we're still here.
Yeah. Because we're called to be here, clearly, or we wouldn't
be. We don't stay a second too long.
No. And he wants us to, oh gosh, I just can feel him like pulling on me, like, stop focusing on the stuff you're focusing on. Like, there's so much more. And I like, of course I'm not always like that. Like, I'm not always like, oh, I gotta have this, but it's so hard. I just never imagined during this season of my life being so, like, consumed in that.
Okay, I think I let my entire joy be stolen for a day over my son not doing the litter box. Like, yeah. I literally came undone for an entire day. He was at school. I sent him a text. I couldn't wait. I sent a group text to the family. Yep. And Jay's like, my husband, sending me one going, he's got a golf match today. You know, we can take it. I was like, I've already done it.
Yeah.
And later going, how in the world mm-hmm. did I let cat litter destroy my day? And then I was trying to destroy everyone else's day because I didn't want to be the only one miserable.
I had the same, almost the same thing yesterday. I had asked, Caleb was like bagging up trash at the house. And I was like, that box and that like roll of wherever that came from, those all need to go in the trash. And I like looked at him like, because he just doesn't listen. And I think it's totally a God thing.
Right.
And that's fine. And my mom was like, Caitlin, it's not because he doesn't care. Your dad still does not listen sometimes. She was like, it's just women and men are different. And He took the trash out, and I walk outside. The boxes are blowing through the backyard, and I was like, kidding me.
Stephen Furtick does tell a story about that, actually, in one of his... It was like a Christmas morning or something where he lost his mind. Like, all the peanuts from the boxes, it was all over the yard. It's the, one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. But
and he lost
was talking
his mind.
About he lost his mind, and like one of his issues was anger.
Yeah,
and like it was like Christmas or whatever. Yeah. And he couldn't, you know, looking back on it, going, I let the peanuts flying all over my yard because they didn't, you know, bag it up right.
Yep, that was literally destroying. What I said, Caleb. I was like, I told you this was trash. I'm like shoving it in a bag. I'm like, I'll just do it myself. That's what I keep saying. And for sure not something that's like good to say. I'm sure when I bring that up at Premier, they're going to be like,
thank you, kid. I do it myself. I do it myself.
That's literally what I'm doing. Like, I'll do it myself. Like, you can't do it yourself. But then we have even like the funny moments when I'm like walked in and he was trying to open up a bag of like laundry detergent pods. And I was like, here, let me just. And I looked at him and I was like, I'm sorry. I just kind of smiled like, I'm a control freak and I'm sorry. And I walked away and he just like giggled. He was like, I can open a bag.
I can remember saying, I'm really not a control freak, but it was just funny because I'm totally a control freak over like not wanting to be a control freak.
Yeah.
Like there's times when if my husband doesn't want to make the decision, truly, that I should just make the decision.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm controlling who's making the decision right now. So I'm totally control freak. Just over probably some things that other people, I mean, like my own set of,
The verse Katie mentioned earlier when I was talking about totally freaking out about stupid stuff. Romans 7:15, and I'm going to read two different versions. The New International Version is, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And the New Living Translation is, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And it's like, why do we do what we... Like, we know. Like, I told her, I know when I'm, like, getting angry about the trash. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm not...
It's like, right, why can't we step
back? And then, why can't
we
stop?
Recognize it.
It just keeps coming out. And I'm, like, in my head, like, screaming, like, stop. And I just let it all out. And then I'm like, oh.
I told you, like, when my kids were little, and I'll do it every now and then, it's hug therapy.
Mm-hmm.
The one you want to hug the least is the one that needs to hug the most. And the one that actually you need to hug the most. Like, that I need to hug the most.
Mm-hmm.
And, or to just, Lord, I love you. Like, in the midst of it, it kind of changes the atmosphere.
Yep.
Next time you start getting like that, blurt out the name of Jesus. And I don't say that, like, to be humorous, but, like, his name, he's... Everything changes.
Yep.
The enemy has to flee.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the atmosphere. It'd be kind of funny just to scream out Jesus in the middle of it. One morning I was running before the sun came up, and I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
It really is darkest right before dawn. And I screamed the name Jesus the entire way down the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I started smiling. My fear left. If there was anyone around, they had to have stayed back. Because, A, they had to stay back, whether they know why they had to, because of the power of the name. But I'm sure they were like, they're crazier
this
than I am.
This lady's crazy, yeah.
But there's power in his name. So if I just say that in the middle of it, you'll both
just
start laughing.
Yeah.
And but it shakes the heavenlies, and I do believe that. Okay, we got to go to our lightning round.
Yes.
Okay. One is, how do you pay tribute to people that you've lost?
Oh, that's good. So this is actually a really fun, cool kind of story, and I'm trying not to be as sad about it, but I think I talked about this last week, just lost a friend who is 26 years old. He had cancer, and it was really, really hard, but his name was Caleb also, and him and my Caleb were friends, and I'm friends with his wife. But to pay tribute, we're going to do something at our wedding. And Caleb mentioned, like, saving his seat and having, like, a special designated seat for Caleb. So I'm excited about that. I think that'll – I know he would appreciate that. And
that's
that'll
a
mean
great
a lot
question
to,
for today.
Yeah, that was good.
That was totally – like, you know, he's there.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's there.
Because
I was really
–
when he died, had a breakdown, and I was like, I wanted him to be at our wedding and see my wedding dress. And Caleb was like, he'll be there. You know, it's just going to be different. So – that's a cool way because people pay tribute like that at weddings, like for people they've lost, like their grandparents. So we just want to include him with like our grandparents that we've lost too. So yeah. What about you?
One is when my dad died on the way to his funeral, mom saw one sunflower in the middle of a field.
Yes.
And it was kind of her. So really, I guess one way with my dad is sunflowers.
Yeah.
I'm going to paint some. Uh-huh. It makes me think of him. And then with her, our safe conversation, like our, it was, I called her my Google before Google. Uh-huh. So I would call her if I needed to know where a Bible verse was, or mm-hmm. she was my commentary.
Yeah.
Or if I was looking up something in the Bible, I could easily Google it. But way before then, she is who I would call, because mm-hmm. she was the Baptist girl that memorized all of her verses mm-hmm. when she was little. And so really, honestly, I kind of, one of my tributes to her is when I'm in the Word and I'm looking at verses or I'll Google something, I think of her.
Yeah.
And I really think she would love that. That's the beauty mark she left.
Yes.
She was my Google.
I love that.
Or the Bible before Google. So that is our lightning round for today. Yeah. We hope that you will kind of look around today at your messy middle, because we all have it. And just scream Jesus.
Scream
pretty
Jesus.
Much. And the enemy will have to flee.
Find the meaningful things all around
mean,
you. In the meantime.
Talk to someone older, younger.
Yeah.
Be the bridge.
Collaborate.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you. And we will be back next week. I can't believe we've had
20 episodes. And as we always say, don't forget to listen, leave us a review on iTunes, and let us know what you're thinking about what we're talking about. And let us know what you want to talk about. Have a good day.
Precious truth kept quiet in his heart. As history unfolded, bits and pieces told through his grace and love, goodness and mercy. Like a whisper in the dark.